You know, sometimes I stand up here to preach, and it's been a while, but don't use much in the way of notes. You're in trouble this morning. I got this page and this page, and the sermon title didn't make it into the bulletin this week, and that's fine. Usually it's not a big deal, but the sermon title for this morning is, All in All, You're Just Another Brick in the Wall. Some of you chuckle. I thought about having Barry do a video. Some of it might not be appropriate. If you're familiar with the words, you realize it comes from a song from the group Pink Floyd, who was very popular back in the 70s. In fact, 1973, they put out their album, The Wall, and according to Wikipedia, that is the third best-selling album of all time. Who knew? And then in 1979, they put out this song, or the album, it was The Dark Side of the Moon in 73, excuse me, Dark Side of the Moon in 73. And then in 79, they put out The Wall. And one of the songs on this album was The Wall. And the video that goes along with it starts off in a classroom setting. And this one little kid sitting there writing a poem and just not paying a lot of attention. And the teacher comes over, rips the poem out of his hand, and reprimands him for basically doing his own thing and reading. He reads the words out loud in the class, and I guess kind of trying to embarrass the kid. And so we go on, they start this song, we don't need no education, we don't need no thought control, no dark sarcasm in the classroom. Hey, teachers, leave those kids alone. Kind of a dark sort of a song. And then it says, all in all, it's just another brick in the wall. All in all, you're just another brick in the wall. And the concept of this was that each of us is just, we follow through life, we do our thing, we're just another brick in the wall. Look at a wall. How meaningless is one brick in the wall? You're just another brick in the wall. Your life is meaningless. You're just like everybody else. Look at the uniformity of a brick. It comes out of a mold. It's the same, they're all the same size, same color, the same shape. It's just a thing. When you see a brick in the wall, what do you see? Have you ever looked at a wall and thought about the bricks in that wall? Just sometime go out and sit and look at a brick wall. All the bricks are unique. Each one is just a little bit different. They may come from the same mold. They may look a lot alike. But there are differences because there's different ways that the air has been entrained into that brick as it was being made. Different maybe chemical compositions. The mud may come from the same hole, but it's got something different in it. It makes it look different. It comes out of they bake them a little bit, they come out of the kiln, they take a little bit different. They all may be just, they're all a lot alike, but they're not, they're different. If we were just another brick in the wall, we fit the mold with a meaningless existence, someone else's plan. But if you look at this brick closely, you're going to see something unique. Each brick in the wall is important to that structure. If the mortar kind of works its way out, that brick may become loose and fall out of the wall. It might, over time, get water in it, get cracked or damaged. If that brick falls out, what's going to happen? Well, in time, the next brick, the brick next to it's going to fall out, and that the whole wall will eventually fall down if it's not taken care of and repaired. Each brick is important. We need to notice the bricks in the wall. We're going to look at a scripture this morning from 1 Rocky chapter 2. All right, we got to talk about Rocky for a minute. We go back into scripture. First place that I want to look at just as a reference here. In Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 13. This is a familiar passage of scripture. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he began asking his disciples, saying, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Okay, the setting. Caesarea Philippi is north of the north end of Galilee, north of the Sea of Galilee. It's kind of the headwaters of the Jordan River, which is kind of the river of life through Israel. It's a special place. You see in Mount Hermon, you're at the base of Mount Hermon, and you see the this great big mass of bedrock coming out from the mountain. And Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's kind of on a retreat with his disciples up in this part of the country. And, well, who do people say that I am? Well, verse 14 said, and they said, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, there's still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. In other words, people were looking at Jesus and they were thinking, here's somebody significant. This man talks like somebody special. He's got to be a prophet. Is Elijah come back? Is John the Baptist come back to life? Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? And you know, for each one of us, that question is going to be asked. Who do you say that Jesus is? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus, this is interesting. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say that you are Peter. Now, his name was Simon. Jesus said, well, you're Peter. What did Peter mean? Peter, Petra, Petros, Rock. We're going to call your nickname is Rocky, buddy. Rocky. Yeah. No, your nickname is Rocky. Little Stone. Upon this rock, this bedrock, this foundation rock, and they can see the foundation rock of this giant mountain behind them. What rock? What foundation rock are you talking about? Not the confession. Upon the fact that Jesus is the Son of the living God. He's not the son of a God. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a good man. He is the Son of God. God is the living God, constantly living, living then, living before then, living pre-existence of everything. Living now and in the future. He is God, the living God. And I think this may have gotten Peter's mind started years later when he writes these words in what we call it 1 Peter, Rocky's book. First Peter chapter 2, and I want to start in verse 4 and read down through here for a little ways. And come, Peter's writing to a mixed group. He's not writing to Jews, people with the Jewish, but he's writing to Christians who have gotten dispersed. They're everywhere. Christians are everywhere because persecution. And they've scattered. They had to scatter from Jerusalem. They had to scatter from Rome. They have to go into hiding in different places just in order to survive. And Peter's here reminding us and them of how valuable they are to the kingdom. It says, and coming to him as a living stone, rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God. He's referring to Jesus, the living stone, choice and precious in the sight of God. You have come to him who is this choice, precious, living stone. Verse 5 says, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You also are a stone, living stones. We'll get back to that in just a second. I want to go on here in verse 6. Where this is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him shall not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they are also appointed. Rocky was a fisherman, but he got to know Jesus. And he got to realize who Jesus was. This is years later, and Peter came to a realization of the love of Christ in some very unique ways. He was always the guy who would open his mouth and put his foot in it. And Jesus taught him some lessons as a result of that, taught us some lessons. And then we have the denial of Peter at the crucifixion. I don't know. I don't know who this guy is. This Jesus, I never heard of him before. This is kind of an interesting show tonight, but you know, I'm just here watching the show. And then the rooster crowed, and Peter remembered that he had denied his Lord, his Master, his teacher. He had denied the Son of the living God. He could have stood up. He could have said, yes, I'm one of his disciples, and I'm here to verify that. I stand up and fight for him, but he told me not to. He could have said a lot of things, but he didn't. Maybe like we are sometimes, we could have said something, but we didn't. But here he's telling us that Jesus is the stone the builders rejected. He understands the concept of rejecting Jesus. He rejected him himself out of, I guess, fear. The builders. Who were the builders? The scribes, the Pharisees, the religious leaders of Jerusalem. Those who were focused on following the law. We've got this beautiful temple that we go to worship in. And we offer sacrifices according to the law. We live our lives according to the law. We follow this law very meticulously. It's important that every little nuance is examined to the nth degree and that we follow it completely. And here this fellow is Jesus' fellow, And he's up here in Galilee and around it. He's even been to Jerusalem, come into the temple a time or two. And he's telling us that our ideas are a little, I guess, antiquated. He's telling us that what we're doing is twisted. He's going back to this, to a concept of, you know, just love. Love? He's going to a concept, he's saying, take the words of the law and you think it means this? Well, this is what it, let's open this. Let's peel away the layers of the onion that you've added to it and get down to the heart of what it is. And the heart of what it is a lot of times is your heart. Your heart is closed to God. Your heart is open to sin and selfishness and willfulness. Your heart is open to what you want, not to what God wants. You think you're the deciders of right and wrong. God is the one who made the plan. God is the one who decides what's right and wrong. Sometimes you're wrong. Where's your heart? You know in your heart you're wrong. They rejected Jesus' teaching. The stone which the builders rejected is the chief cornerstone. You think about this concept of masonry a little bit. We talk about another brick in the wall. When they built this structure, they had I think Mary was here that day. They had the laying of the cornerstone. It was a long time ago. Okay, Mary was a very little girl then. But they laid the cornerstone, and there was a ceremony that the laying of this cornerstone. Okay, a lot of our buildings, like this structure, cornerstone is not as significant as it was, or as it would be, in some more significant structures. Cornerstone is designed to, it's laid into the foundation or carved from the foundation. As it's laid in a very specific way, in a very specific angle. Whether they've designed it for the north-south concept, it's laid to be level, plumb, and square. The lines of the building come from that cornerstone. The whole building is designed to derive its lines. The cornerstone is crucial to the building. If it's built according to the structure and not just haphazardly put together, that's why you have skilled masons who are involved in putting up a structure. I helped a guy one time. We had a garage built when I was growing up on the farm. And the mason's name was, Dad hired this guy. He was a skilled mason. And I ended up being the mason's helper. Learned a lot. Did a lot of work. The helper does the carry the block kind of thing. So I carry the block. You know, this guy's name was Saban Zilkic. It was really kind of a strange name, but I remember Saban. He's an old guy, but he was skilled in what he did. When he was done, this building went up, and it was the line. You could stand back, and it was straight and square. I'd seen some block that my grandfather had laid. My grandfather was a good carpenter, but he wasn't much of a brick mason. They were up, and they were pretty straight. But you could see it, you know, little wavy lines in the lines as you look down the lines of the block. Not when Saban laid them. When Saban laid them, they were square. It was level and plumb. I'm not sure exactly where he took his lines from, but the building was well fit when it was finished. This building that Peter's talking about here in 1 Peter is a building that God has designed. God is the architect of this building. Jesus is the cornerstone. And the rest of us are bricks in the wall. Not just another brick in the wall, as the song would make us think that how meaningless our life is to be just another brick in the wall. We are important bricks in this wall because Peter tells us that we are living stones. Living stones. I can almost see that, you know, a building with living stones with smiley faces and just happy moving, you know, the eyes are blinking and everything's going. But the church building requires each of us to be a living stone or a living brick in the wall of this structure. What kind of a structure is he building here? He says you're a spiritual house, a holy priesthood designed to offer spiritual sacrifices. What does that sound like to you? It sounds like a temple to me. It sounds like God has designed a temple with Jesus as the cornerstone. He's the architect, and we're the stones. We are the building material of this temple. Well, Paul tells us, reminds us in Corinthians that our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. God has designed us to be temples, to be his dwelling place as a church, as individuals, and as a group. You're the stones. You're the bricks. Jesus provides the mortar that holds it all together. Think about this. The love of Christ, the blood of Christ, the mercy of Christ is what holds us together. And we in this love are bonded together to each other into this building, into this wall. And each of us is significant. Each of us has a role to play. Each of us has a job to do. Yes, we are different. We're not all going to be preachers. We're not all going to be singers. We're not all going to be elders or deacons or we're not all going to. But we are all going to be something in this building. We're all essential to the church. We're all important. Sometimes we look at ourselves and we think, oh, they can get along without me. And maybe so, but not as well as we can with you. There are other people to do these jobs. Maybe so. But maybe the other people that can do that job, they are doing that job, and they're doing this job, and this job, and this job, and they would love for you to step in and say, hey, I think I could do that if you want me to. You're a living brick in this wall. You're important. Understand, he goes down here. There's a couple of verses we haven't read yet. Verses 9 and 10. It says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. He talks about Jesus being this chief cornerstone, or the chief cornerstone, the stone the builders rejected, which is for some a rock of stumbling and offense. And you have to realize some are going to stumble because of Jesus. Some people are not going to accept him. Some people, why? Because they've ignored the word. They've ignored the signs along the way. If you drive around this area very long, you're going to come up, there's a detour sign. Road closed, there's a construction going on. Ignore those signs and keep going on ahead. See what happens. Out to Churchville, they've been building a bridge for about the last year. Road's been blocked off. There have been times if you had ignored the signs and continued on the same old road, the same old path, you would have just driven into the river. You'd have just off the edge, no road, you're done. Stop right here. You have tripped and fallen because you ignored the sign. How many signs do people see of Jesus and they ignore the signs? They stumble to their own demise. You may be one of the bricks in the wall that somebody stumbles over. You're the road sign. And they're ignoring the sign and they're tripping and falling. But interestingly, as the brick in the building, as the stone, the block, whatever you want to call yourself, different kinds of different purposes, different, I mean, some stones are cut different ways. Some are specially designed to be like lentils or keystones or different unique things in the structure, but each one is important in its place. Notice one thing he says here is you're chosen. God has chosen you. He chose me. He's chosen us to be part of his building. You know, if God chooses you, that's something special. You ever, remember being a kid on the playground in school and they're picking up teams? Maybe you were really good at kickball and you were the first one chosen. Some of us were not really good at kickball. Maybe we were the last one chosen. Or maybe we were okay at kickball, but we weren't everybody's, the guy that was the team captain didn't like us, so we were the last one chosen. And only chosen by default. It's like, oh, we really don't want you, but we have to take you. This is not how God looks at you. God has chosen you. He says also you are a royal priesthood. Royalty? Okay, maybe you're not royalty. God is royalty. Jesus is royalty. But you are part of the royal priesthood. Your role is to serve him, to serve God as a priest would serve in a temple. Okay, if you're serving in a temple, what do you do in a temple? Well, if you read the Old Testament and all of the different things that they did, they were offering sacrifices. What kind of sacrifices do we offer? Spiritual sacrifices. Sacrifices of prayer, sacrifices of our life, giving sacrifice of our will, giving our will over to his will. You're a people for God's possession. He has chosen you. He holds you close to him. So what are we supposed to do about it? We're special. Just another brick in the wall? I don't think so. A special brick in the wall. We're a special building, chosen, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You're not just here to be here. You're not here to be just another bump on the seat, another brick in the wall. You're here for a purpose. You're here to proclaim his excellencies, to tell the world by the way you live and the things you say, and to proclaim Jesus to the world. You got something to do. Each one of you. You've been chosen. You've got a job to do. interestingly, if we get together and do it, we'll make a difference. We might be adding another brick to the wall. Someone else comes, and the mortar of Jesus' life and his blood and his grace and his love bonds them to the rest of us. He is the builder. But we have a job to do in the as the building. Don't look at yourself as just another, insignificant part. Because each of us is significant. Each of us is important to the work of God, to the work of God universally in the church, but also to the work of God here, in this church, in this community, in your home, in your place of business. You're important. You have value because of Christ who is in you. We're going to sing a decision hymn this morning. An opportunity to renew, I guess, to renew our vows, our commitment to Christ. What is it? Breathe on me, breath of God. So let's stand and ask God to breathe on us his breath as we go out to serve.